Good morning, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing show for you today. I was speaking with our guests backstage, and we've been having a lot of fun. So I know you are going to have fun with this show. So I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do. And for some reason this morning, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling fun. I don't know if it was like I got much enough sleep. Some things going on that I'm really happy about. I posted some grants that are available out there. Hello Alice has a new grant for business owners. There's a Black Women in Business grant that I posted on my social media. Go out there and get that money. That's why you tune into the show so you can find out what's going on in the world and how you can benefit from it. So, what I want you to do is go to your neighbor's house, tell them they're not doing anything. Whatever it is they're doing is not as important as being with you watching this show today. So wake your neighbor, text your friend, tweet somebody, inbox somebody, call somebody. There's a meeting in the conference room next door. I want you to go over there and tell those people that they need to tune in to the Roundtable Talk Show because we have a hot show and friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. That's right. So while you're sharing, while you're waking, while you're making it happen, I'm going to make it happen as well by introducing our first guest. Our first guest is a dear friend of mine. She hasn't been on the show, but we've been working behind the scenes together. And this lady is so amazing. I'm sure you're going to love her. Her name is Natasha Dressler. She is a publicist. She is in Orange County, and she is going to share her story with you this morning. Good morning, Natasha. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me, Sharif. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. I've been telling everyone in the last 30 days, all of a sudden, I've been receiving more and more requests for speaking engagements. Like people want me to talk about everything. And this is not a racial statement, people, so forgive me, but it's all people, white people who want me to talk because they're like, Sharifa, we don't understand and we know you can explain it to us. Like, what is this racial divide? What is going on? Talk to us. We want to help. How can we help? And so I was like, cool, where you want to be? And so I sat on a panel that Natasha was a part of and we discussed race and it was so amazing. And you helped put that together. Can you tell us a little bit about the group, the organization?
Yeah, so one of my clients is the Powerful Ladies. Their headquarters is in Orange County, California, but we are a national and international brand. I like to say they're triple threat. So they have an online community called Thrive Collective, which is full of a group of wonderful women, and we're continuing to grow. And Kara Duffy, who was the moderator of the panel, she actually is a business coach. So she gives you group coaching twice a week, and then a ton of resources to help you thrive. So whether you're an entrepreneur, you're a stay-at-home mom, you work a 9 to 5, it's for you. And then she has a podcast, and then she also has a series of workshops that she does as well. So it's really great to work with them. And what was awesome is I woke up June 1st, and Kara called me, and she said, I know our focus for the month is going to be, or was supposed to be social media, but I don't feel right. And I was like, I love this already. And she's like, I want to focus on what is going on right now. This is important. There is a movement going, and we need to make sure that we are loud and we stand behind our promise of being powerful women. And so we organized a panel, and Sharifa was one of the panelists. And we sat back as a group collectively. And there was over 50 people, national and international, who attended via Zoom, and we listened. And it was very eye-opening for me. And I really connected with a lot of things you said, Sharifa, like, even though I am not Black, but hearing, don't be too loud, and hearing these microaggressions, some of them I've never heard before, and it made me really sad. And then some of them I was like, I've heard that even as a woman. So it was a very informative panel. And I think that the Powerful Ladies, our commitment to continue these panels and continue the conversation will not only just bridge the gap, but keep everyone continuously educated.
Wow, I think that's beautiful, and I loved it. I see, for me, it's about not only having the conversation, but everything I do is around the same thing. Every show, I do three different shows. I just launched a show every Wednesday at 10 a.m. called Face to Face, because with the Roundtable Talk Show, these are business owners, these are entrepreneurs. People really just want to come on this show and talk about their book. They don't want to discuss religion. They don't want to discuss politics. And so I respect that. You know, so I said, but there are people who are like, but Sharifa, you have to talk about it. So I'm like, okay, so I'll do face to face to discuss what's going on in America Wednesdays at 10. So I'm going to do like so many shows, but it's important. But my all my shows have the same thing, and that's conversation. Let's talk about it. That's been my message ever since I launched, is let's talk. If I can learn from you, then I can be like, hey, Greg, let me tell you what Natasha does. She can take your business and she can get you out there. Or I can say, Alexis, you know, you're doing this, but Ben can help you, because we have these conversations and we know what people are doing. So as a publicist, what are you seeing? Because one of the things that I've been discussing as far as COVID and everything that's going on in the world and this, you know, uprising, is that I've seen the messages change. I've seen marketing people as well as publicists talk to their clients and say, okay, soften your message, focus on being more service as opposed to that, you know, buy now, my product is the cleanest, it's the best. It's like, no, our company is here to serve you.
Yes, absolutely. The other thing I've seen is people pivot from it just being about sales and brand awareness to education. And mm-hmm. I think that that is so important as well. So if someone has a product, so one of my mm-hmm. clients is a product-based company, and they were doing an Indiegogo campaign as part of their fundraising. And they took that and they said, okay, we do need this money, but we know that right now the Black Lives Matter movement is so important that we're going to take 15% of net profit and donate it to the Black Lives movement. Mm-hmm. So I've seen that not just with my clients, but across the board and talking to my other publicist friends or just reading the news, that a lot of companies are sitting there and they're like, all right, how else can we get involved other than just posting about it on social media? Let's be about it. And I think that that is so important, because you can always talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? And if mm-hmm. you can't do both, then you need to sit back, because there are people ready to step up and be heard right now, and they want to be heard. So, and I think it's also amplifying like Black voices and Black businesses, which I think is so, so, so important, because I personally learned about a ton of them during this entire movement. And I can't wait to continue to learn about more and more and more as well.
Yes, absolutely. There are so many people who are doing some great things, some amazing things. The number one question I've been asked from people who are not African American or Black is, what can we do? You know, they keep asking me in panel after panel, Sharifa, but what can we do? And I met a lady who, and she's going to be on an upcoming show, I think July 16th, Tay. Oh, I love Tay. She's amazing. She's this cute, small little white girl. She's really young, but she's quiet. And on July 16th, it would be the third time that she's going to be on my show. But she sits there and she's quiet, and then she speaks, and he's like, oh my God, Tay, I didn't even know that was in you, you know. But she's not only a white lady married to a Black police officer, right? So she's like, let me tell you. And I'm like, go Tay. So you never know. But one of the things I really loved about her, she came on my show and she said, because of everything that's going on in the world, I created this fundraiser, and I'm donating a percentage of these funds or all these funds to different organizations. And she named all of the organizations, and I had to applaud her. I said, because so many people come to me and they go, Sharifa, what do I do? And my response, like I gave on the panel, is you have to do what your spirit tells you to do. You know, you have to figure out what you want to do in order to make the world a better place. If I just told you, Natasha, it'll make Black people feel better if you gave, you know, $1,000 to Sharifa Hardy's $50,000 production fundraiser, you might do it. But is that really in the spirit of making a change? No. So you have to do what's best for you. And I just enjoying this conversation, enjoying this energy. I'm excited. I'm going to come back to you, Natasha. I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest. because this is interesting. I want to bring her into the conversation. My next guest is amazing. She's over here enjoying the sun in Palm Springs with her family. She was like, I'm quarantining in Palm Springs. I'm like, okay, that's wonderful. I wish I could quarantine in Palm Springs, but I'll settle for Long Beach. We got some nice weather here in Long Beach. But Alexis Hazelberger is a time management and productivity coach. So I have to ask, are you being productive, Alexis?
I'm being incredibly productive. That's my superpower. My superpower is to be incredibly productive, but also to help other people to use their time in a way that really is in service of their goals and values. So, you know, I don't care if you want to be unproductive. I just want you to be using your time the way you want to use it, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's what I do, is I help people to use their time more intentionally so that you can do more of what we want, more of the good stuff, and less of the stuff that we don't want to do.
I love the background. It's like so chic. I love chic.
You know why? You want to be let in on a little secret? Because I'm actually talking to you from a walk-in closet in this rented house in Palm Springs.
See, that's what you have to do. That's the magic of Hollywood. Like, you can be anywhere in the world that you want to be. I love it. They show me all their little backdrops and stuff. And when Zoom first came out with it, I was like, oh my God, I have to get a backdrop. And then I'm like, no, I really like people to see like the things that are important to me. And then I didn't want to cover up my All You Need Is Love, because that, aside from my Ash Sharifa, is what I stand for and what I believe. Like, anybody, everybody, all we need is love. And I wanted to speak to you, Alexis, because I hardly ever, because I'm known, I'm sure this will surprise all of you, but I am known for saying things people don't expect. Like, people expect me to say the unexpected. And so I hardly ever get in trouble. But during COVID, I made a post where I said, like, it was like a little meme, but I shared it and it said, if you are not using this time as an opportunity to better your life, to write that novel, to write that script, like, you are missing out on the opportunity of a lifetime. Oh, and my people came back and they were like, no, Sharifa, no. Like, some people have been working for 30 years. Like, they haven't had a vacation. You know, they stressed out. They losing their jobs. If they just want to veg on the couch, that's okay. And I was like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. Like, I was just trying to get people to use this opportunity. So productivity, talk to us about productivity. Just that alone for right now during COVID and what you've seen.
Yeah, so I think you're totally right. Yeah, when I first heard you saying, I posted this thing about how everybody needs to use this time, I just started thinking about all my clients and people who are, you know, have little kids at home and who are still trying to work from home. And for so many people, this time has actually been so much busier than they would be in the normal world, right? And so it's really interesting. It's been interesting to see, because there's so many different, you know, some people are so lonely and some people are like, I can't get away from these people, right? And some people are having all this time and they're feeling bored, and other people are like, I haven't had a spare minute for myself, right? Mm-hmm. And so all of these people, when it comes to productivity just means for me, mm-hmm. Look, we are all going to die someday with a big long list of things we didn't do, right? And that is okay. What productivity is about knowing that every day you did the things that were more important than the things you didn't do. So if we can prioritize in that way, then we know that we are living a good life, whether that, you know, what we call it, whether that's productive or whatever it is. For me, it's, are we spending our time in a way that feels good and that we have agency and that matches our values and our goals? Or are we letting the day just happen to us, you know, where you wake up in the morning, you have the best of intentions, you got your list, you got your coffee, you got your laptop, and then you start answering email, and all of a sudden it's 5 p.m. and you're like, what happened? Like, I have been working all day. I wasn't messing around, but somehow I didn't check anything off my list. And so what I do with people is help them to go from that reactive state to being proactive, so that they're able to really be in control of their time, whatever that means for them. If that means they want to watch Netflix 10 hours a day, I don't care. I want to just help them do what they want to do.
But that's interesting that you said the whole Netflix thing, because way back in March, that was the most difficult aspect for me. Like, I got to be going. I got to be moving. I'm a mover and a shaker. So it's hard for me to just veg. So early on, I was watching Netflix and I had this conversation. We always have these conversations with ourselves. And I'm like, Sharifa, you have emails. You have stuff to do. you can't just watch Netflix all day and, you know, veg out. But then Sharifa said to me, like, dude, it's Saturday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben?
What do you watch in Netflix?
Okay. Let me tell you something. I watch so many different things. I just finished The Politician, which I thought was so interesting because I love Bette Midler. I love Judith Light. I love that kind of like unexpected. And I just ran for Long Beach City Council. So I'm more familiar with politics. And one of the things that I've learned about politics is that everything is politics. Every conversation, every interaction, everything we do in life is politics. So I love The Politician. I don't know if you've seen Greenleaf. Okay, Greenleaf is about this church family and they do all kind of craziness. And this is a show people have been telling me about for years. But then I was like, if you tell me a show is the it show to watch, I'll like wait 2 years just because I don't want to do what everybody else is doing. Like, I'm weird. Like, you have to understand me, but I don't know. I love Netflix. What's your favorite show, Ben?
I have a couple. I mean, I love The Office. I always like to turn off my brain and just watch The Office. It's like, it's a basic, you know, it's like, I like it.
I'm going to check that out. I'm going to go back to Alexis in a minute, but since Ben is interacting with us, I want the audience to know who Ben is. He left France to start his entrepreneurial journey, and now Ben has a million companies. He's a serial entrepreneur. He has Lexier, Zentap, a whole bunch of them. Ben, good morning. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey.
Thank you for having me first, Sharifa. I appreciate it. My journey, I mean, I left France maybe like 8 years ago, 9 years ago now. I'm from Nice, south of France, beautiful place. And I came to Los Angeles first because I was like a big Lakers fan. I was a big Kobe fan. Mm-hmm. And it was one of my dreams to come here and see the Black Mamba. So I came here and I decided to stay, you know, like I didn't really plan anything. I just like opened like one company. Then I just started my agency, my marketing agency. And then like some SaaS for different like niche, real estate, mortgage brokers, CBD and cannabis. And I just love doing this, you know, I just love starting like startups. I love to be involved with startups. I love to see like something from scratch. And like months after months, you're getting like more and more like clients or like user or things like that. And I just love it. You know, I think it's my passion. I love entrepreneurial.
You are, but you just slipped that in there, Ben. You naming all these companies, there's CBD and cannabis. I'm like, come back. Let's talk about that for a minute. What are you doing with this cannabis, Ben?
So because I have like an agency, marketing agency, I realized like for the last 2 years that a lot of CBD on brand owners and cannabis brand owners, they have like a lot of challenge to advertise online because of the regulation, you know, it's not allowed on Facebook. They can't use Facebook ads. They can't use like Google AdWords. So I've been like working on few things and few tricks to make them able to like advertise online. One is like a platform, like a SaaS platform. It's called like Chloe. One is just like using my agency to do like Facebook ads and using like tech, like some strategy like bridge ads, SEO, a lot of different strategies just for them to be able like to advertise online.
Okay, so what you're saying, because I want to make sure I understand you, because you can tell I'm nosy and I ask a whole lot of questions. So basically you provide the marketing for these type of companies. Like you don't have a grow house in your backyard.
No, I mean, I have one, but it's not a brand.
Ben said I have one. Okay, Ben, after the show, look in the chat. Just go ahead and send me your address because I'm gonna come visit you. Make sure you okay. All right, I gotta check on you during COVID. Okay,
you yeah, with please. Me, Ben? Come check.
I'm just giving you a hard time. I don't know. I'm feeling good today. I'm feeling excited. I want to go back to Alexis real quick because I have two questions that I was gonna ask. Actually, now I have three, but I'm gonna add to that. First question, Alexis, is this. When you say you're a productivity and a time management coach, are you the type of coach that like yells at you and like, get up, you got, because that's what I need. Like, even with weight loss and stuff, like, I need somebody who's gonna like slap the food out of my hand. I don't need somebody who's like, well, let's understand why you are doing the thing. No. So what do you do, Alexis?
What kind of coach am I? Yeah, so I love it. So I thought you were going to say, are you the kind of coach that just asks reflective questions? I'm not that kind of coach. I'm not like, I'm going to make you figure it out all for yourself by just asking you reflective questions kind of coach.
Yes, that's
but I'm
what
also
mean.
Not a yell at you coach either. Okay. I fall somewhere in between. I call myself a tactical, practical coach. Okay. And so my job is to help people understand the different elements of time management and productivity, and mm-hmm. to help them to implement different strategies so that they're like building a personalized productivity system around them that works really well for who they are. Now, I will say, if you told me in our first session, I need you to yell at me, I need you to slap this out of my hand, I need you to ask me how many emails are in my inbox every single day, you know, I would do that. Because I think that for me, it's all about who the person is. I start from a position with every single client of, let's know yourself a little bit better exactly as you are. We're not going to talk about the person we want to be. We're going to talk about the person we are right now. Okay. And then in that way, we can find strategies that really work for who someone is already. Because what I've found is that, you know, most people who are experiencing overwhelm and stress and issues with time or productivity, it's not like I'm their first stop. You know, they've read the book, they've downloaded the apps, and it, you know, they've got this graveyard of abandoned task apps on their phone, and it just hasn't worked. And so we need to, that's usually because, you know, when you read a book, who's that written for? The person who wrote the book, right?
Right.
And so what I try to do is take all of these, this world of different strategies, and say, okay, who are you? Now let's build things around who you are that actually can fit into your life, that fit into your circumstances. Like, if you tell me, you know what, I hate getting up in the morning, I am not a morning person, I am never gonna say, well, I think you should just join the 5 a.m. club and just wake up a little earlier than your kids and whatever. Like, that is not gonna work, right? Maybe it'll work for a week, but it's not gonna be sustainable for you. Mm-hmm. And so I really take it from a level of like, what does this person need? And then how can I best support them to be able to make the long-term changes?
Well, I love, see you good. What I do on this show, and everybody doesn't like it, but I always say, okay, if you tell me you're a coach, we need to see you coach something, because anybody can say they do this and they don't. So I tend to put people on the spot because I need a coach, right? Out of everything that I do, I am the horrible at time management. And I'm like, I've gotten to a point of just acceptance. Like, that's who I am. Because the crazy thing is I'm the captain of the 5 a.m. club. Like, I'm up waking up the birds. Like, y'all got a job to do. Go do what y'all got to do. But I'm always late. Like, I can wake up at 5 a.m., have a 10 o'clock appointment, and I'm late. And I'm like, how does that even work? You've been up for hours.
Right. Yeah. And I think
help me.
Yes, those are different things, right? I think that part of it is that, so like, what time you wake up and how you can get up, that's like related to your chronotype and the way your body actually works, right? When you're late for things, it comes down to a few things, right? I mean, I don't know you that well yet, so I don't know exactly, right? I'm not going to purport to know everything. But often it's around kind of time estimation. So people who are chronically late often are people who are really optimistic and think they can just fit one more thing in, right? Does that describe you?
That's me.
Okay. And so what I will often say to people is, let's just say that, let's say you have a 10 a.m. meeting and it's a half an hour away, right?
Right.
I would much rather you actually block the time for travel on your calendar. So you think it's going to take half an hour, block 45 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. And then get in your car 45 minutes beforehand. Now you might be saying, but I want to use all this time up until the last minute. Bring your laptop. And if you get there early, then work in your car for 15 minutes so that you're not late, right? So there are different strategies that we can use to still like use up the time so we don't have to worry about wasting it, but we can just shift things a little bit so we actually can be more realistic. You know, a lot of people too, especially with kids, are, you know, it's like they're late because it took their kids 20 minutes to put on their shoes, right? And I say that from experience. And so, you know, it's like, well, you know what, your kids probably aren't going to put their shoes on faster. So let's just actually build in the realistic time to make it happen.
Right.
And so, you know, one thing I might suggest for you, even just right now, is spend a week just tracking your time, like from the moment you get up till the moment you go to sleep, track what you're doing and then add it up and see what's happening. Like, how much time are you spending doing this? How much time are you spending doing that? Because what you'll see is it's probably a lot different than what you think if you were to tell me right now how many hours a day go into these different things. Mm-hmm. And it may be positive and it may be negative. You may have different levers you want to pull. You may say, oh, I want to be doing more than this. Oh, I'm not sleeping enough. And then you have the real data to work with instead of just what we think, because time is so subjective. That's really, it's really hard to say, like, here's where my time is going without actually tracking it.
Okay, so what we need you to do, you notice I said we, and when I say we, that means you. Do the work, create the spreadsheet, the app, whatever I need to track my time so I can figure out what I'm doing. But I know really what, honestly, what my problem is, aside from time management, is that I have this philosophy that I hate calendars. I hate schedules. I don't like to have to be anywhere at any particular time, because I'll say, okay, because this is what happens to me. People like call me, today's Wednesday. They're like, Sharifa, I would really love to speak with you. Can we schedule a chat? How's Monday at 5 p.m.? And I'm like, Monday's 5 p.m. works for me. Now, at Monday at 4 p.m., I'm probably somewhere else doing something else. And so now I got to move. And I tell people, like, just call me. Mm-hmm. If you call me and I'm available, I will answer you. If not, leave a message and I'll get back to you, versus scheduling all these things that I might or might not want to do when it comes time to do it. But then what happens is, like, I have a 10 o'clock appointment. I'm like, I have to leave the house at 9 o'clock. At 8:55, the phone rings and I'm looking at the phone like, don't do it. Don't answer it. Cause then I'm late.
Right. Right. So it's interesting, right? Like, I'm the total opposite. I love scheduling it in calendars. Right? Like, that's my favorite
thing. Me too.
Like, it makes me feel calm inside knowing exactly what's coming, but everyone's different. Right. And I think you've illustrated my point here that, like, If I were to work with you, I would not say, okay, Sharifa, well, we've got to just get you on the schedule, because you would hate that. Like, you would not like that.
I would agree to it, but I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do it, right? You would tell that me that to placate me, but then right. You would not do it, right?
I like you. Yes.
And so, well, I like you too. Thanks for having me on. And so what I would say instead is, so if you know about yourself that call is going to come in and you are going to be tempted because you like people and you want to talk to them and you're like, well, I'm free right now. Maybe they'll only talk to me for 5 minutes. What I would say is that we need to work on it's much easier for us to kind of remove temptation than it is to resist temptation. So what I would say to you is, if you know you have to leave at 9 a.m., at 8:30, put your phone on silent.
Alexis, you didn't solve problems I've been trying to figure out for over 40 years. Amazing. I love our guests. Now I have another problem I've been trying to figure out for at least 20 years, and that's more ways for me to get this money. So that's why I have our next guest, Mr. Greg Bond. He is a serial entrepreneur. He is a real estate investor. And one of the things we've been talking about on the show is to buy or not to buy. We have so many people who are like, don't buy anything. People are just losing everything. And then you have other people like, this is the time to buy. You can get it on pennies on the dollar because everybody's walking away. So I'm like, I don't know. So I ask people like Greg. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. You going to solve some more of my problems?
I will certainly try.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Greg, and what you do.
Well, I've been a real estate investor for 30 years. Mm-hmm. So I've primarily in single family homes. I helped myself first. And then I said, wait a minute, this works so well. I think I can help a whole lot of other people. Mm-hmm. So we started buying single family homes, renovating them, putting them in or putting tenants in those homes, and then selling them to investors for a passive income play. Mm-hmm. So we manage the houses for the investors. And then simply once a month, we ACH them a check. And the money shows up in their account. So it's a wonderful way to generate some passive income. And there's so many people that have no money put away for retirement. Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly harping on people. You need to put something away, you know, that you might not be able to work your whole life. You know, you may have a sickness, you may have some sort of disability. You may get in a car accident and not be able to physically do the work that you're used to doing. So, you know, create an income stream that can still support your lifestyle, even if you're not working.
Mm-hmm. So COVID-19 may hit?
You never know, right? Just a million things. We really help a lot of people with their IRAs. So they use their self-directed IRA money to buy property. And then that money goes back into the retirement fund and sits there and grows tax deferred. And in a lot of cases with a Roth IRA would grow, they would be able to take that out and pay no tax on it. So we're always cognizant about how, you know, what that, where that person's at, what they're trying to accomplish, what risk tolerance they can take. And then we try and pair properties with that individual.
What have you seen since March in regards to the trends on real estate?
Boy, we manage a lot of properties for investors. I was really concerned that, that those rent checks were not going to come in. And oddly enough, pretty much we've had only one person that has not paid their rent. So all the properties we manage about 200 properties. And we've had one person that just can't pay. The governor in the state of Florida just last night just extended the moratorium, so no foreclosures can happen through August, at least in the state of Florida right now, and who knows, maybe through the end of the year. But most people are making, finding a way to do it or setting up some sort of payment programs.
Mm-hmm. What about buying property?
Oddly enough, we've seen sales have gone up, so I'm a broker as well. At one point we had 35 agents and sales are trending up right now. I think it's amazing that we're not seeing as many go on the market. So I don't know, it's just a strange time and I'm not really sure, you know, what's going to happen. I think we're probably going to see a decline in the near future. And I think prices will start to trend down, but I don't know if that's going to hold. I think it depends a lot on how the whole COVID thing plays out. Is it going to get much worse in the fall? Are have so many people had it? Are we getting that herd immunity already? Or, you know, it's going to be an interesting time.
I think it's an interesting time right now, because not just with real estate, I think a lot of people simply don't know what to do. They're reading the news, they're looking at social media about everything in general, specifically like COVID, to wear a mask, not to wear a mask. And it's like, you can literally see one article that says 100% absolutely you have to do this during COVID. And the very next article says, well, the CDC just said that doesn't matter. I'm like, I don't know what to do. So a lot of people, I believe, are in a holding pattern, trying to kind of wait and see how things go before they make too many moves and too many decisions. But in general, you're a serial entrepreneur. That's you know, one of the things that you love to do. What makes you a serial entrepreneur and why?
I think it was probably somewhat to do with my father. He was always looking for another business, looking for another opportunity. I have two younger sisters, so He was working a job that didn't provide a lot of income. So he was always looking for a way to supplement that income and looking for something different. And I got pulled into that. He actually started a map business when I was about 10 or 12 years old. And we produced paper-based maps, a lot of stuff. I'm sure you guys all being on in California, you're all familiar with Thomas Brothers. Mm-hmm. Right? You all had your Thomas guides.
Yes.
And that's what we did all over the country. So we... he built that up from nothing to about 250 employees. Mm-hmm. And we did the Thomas Guide type things for other cities throughout the United States. Mm-hmm. And we produced paper maps for AAA and these large wall maps that businesses would use. And oddly enough, in 2008, with technology, with Google Maps coming onto the scene and with the economy crashing, our whole map industry just kind of crashed. So that's what forced me into real estate full time. And I kind of had to reinvent myself. Luckily, I had some real estate of my own as a backup. And we fell back on that and just began to purchase real estate as quickly as I could and sell it to other investors and helping them with their passive income needs.
That's interesting, because that whole industry with the maps may have crashed, but I can tell you right now, you have at least one loyal customer in that industry. My dad has his own plumbing, HVAC, handyman business. He's been in business in California since 1985, so he's always all over the place. My dad makes sure I always have a Thomas guide. Like, that's his thing. He's like, you never know when technology is going to fail. Get your Thomas guy. Have your Thomas guy in the car. I'm like, okay, Dad. So I have to have a Thomas guy. Like, that's part of my things to have in my car. So I think that's interesting. Do you have a Thomas guy, Greg?
I don't have a Thomas. Well, I've got a bunch of Thomas Guides because we partnered with Thomas Guide to use their data to produce wall maps. So we put a grid of the Thomas Guide grids or the page numbers on the wall map, and then people could correspond. You know, they'd say, look at page 32, grid A4, right? And they could go to it and they could see it on the wall map, and somebody could have the same grid system in their car in a Thomas Guide. So,
mm-hmm. So what you watching on Netflix?
What am I watching on Netflix? Right now I'm watching Designated Survivor.
You know what? I saw that. I saw actually watched the preview for it, but I couldn't watch it because it's like, I don't like all that kind of stuff. Like, especially in COVID, like I just wanted something like that to take my mind off of all of that. So I just wanted to be, I was just curious, but back to real estate real quick. Do you only focus on property in Florida or is this national?
No, just properties in Florida. We started to go, I really, in 2016, I took a look and thought, personally, I'm getting too highly leveraged in just single family homes. Mm-hmm. So we started to invest in self-storage facilities.
Oh, wow.
And then I'm also building about 100-bed assisted living facility mm-hmm. in a little city northwest of Orlando called Eustis, Florida. Mm-hmm. So right on a nice lake there, we're building a 101-bed assisted living facility.
Ooh, I love, that's interesting. I have this lady who buys the self-storage ones after they've been at the auction. And she does, she's retired, but she goes and she buys, it's just like a game to her. Like, I don't know what I'm going to find. I'm like, that is so weird.
Does like she ever find anything valuable?
Yes.
You never know what you're going to find.
Yes, she does. Well, she hasn't found anything that is, that I would, that can stand out, but she, you know, makes money like all the time, because no matter what you find, you can put it on Marketplace, on Facebook, right. You know, let go all these different places. So whatever it is, she gets it, she sells it, and she makes a pretty penny on it. So it's interesting. So what are you watching, Alexis, on Netflix?
So we've actually been doing so well. I got kind of two minds. I'm kind of like you, where I'm like, I just want stuff that's light and whatever. And so I've been watching Space Force, which is, I mean, maybe not so light, but super funny. Right. And then the other side of it is we've been doing with our kids what we call anti-racist movie club, where every Sunday we watch, yes. you know, something. So we watched Just Mercy last weekend, and yes. we watched 13th with them the weekend
before. Yes.
And
yes.
so we're really trying to mix up like some real education for them mm-hmm. with also, you know, the fun stuff. So got to keep them interested and educated.
I love that. Don't make the mistake of watching 365 though with your kids. Like, don't do that. Don't, right. I'm telling you, mom to mom, okay. don't do that. Have you all seen right. the previews, Natasha, for 365?
No, but I actually just finished 13, I want to say like a week or two ago.
I recommended that during the panel.
Yes, and my God, was it eye-opening and so needed, and it was so interesting to watch it. My boyfriend actually was so upset he had to take the dog for a walk because he just needed to cool down.
Yeah.
It's like, you think you know, but you don't know. And I think that 13, even though it's been out for so long, is even more relevant now than ever.
Yeah.
Have you seen 13, Greg?
No, I have not. What is 13?
It's basically a documentary by Ava DuVernay, and she talks through how we go from slavery to the prison industrial complex and the direct through lines. And it's horrifying and real and important, I guess. Wow.
And what I thought was important is that it wasn't just shot by people who are liberal or Democratic. Mm-hmm. They had Republican analysts on there, and they had other people to explain the systems and the reason that they are doing the things they do. And then the prison slavery system and learning about Alec. And I was like, how have I not ever learned about Alec before? That to me was like mind blowing. And my boyfriend and I were like, we need to research. We need to find out. We're not giving them our money anymore. Like, we need to know who's a part of it. And right. I actually spoke to a friend of mine who's a union member, and he's like the head of like a union. And he said, it's sad, but a lot of people still donate under the table to them. Right. And I was like, I'm like, I just don't want to give them any money. I don't want to be a part of that. And it's one of those things where, again, watching 13 is going to open your eyes and continuously educate you, your family, others around you to the realism of what is going on in this country still to this day.
Yes, I love that movie and I recommended it during the panel and every panel. Every time I talk to someone, I ask them. It's like, you know how when you meet religious people and they're like, have you given your life to Jesus? You know, before they talk to you, like, when I speak to people, I'm like, have you watched 13th? They're like, no. Okay, watch the movie, come back, and then talk to me. Because I love this movie, not because there's so many movies that focus on race. And something you said, Natasha, you said it's been out for a while. This movie was originally released in either 2015, 2016. Notice election years. So I believe that this movie is one of the things that cost Hillary Clinton the election in 2016. So it's more of a political movie, even though it's about slavery and race, because it pointed out that the Clintons are the ones who started the three strikes laws and who started making the police more like the military and who started the mandatory minimums. Mm-hmm. So if a judge wanted to give you a lower sentence, he couldn't if he wanted to. So they were showing that this was done under the Clintons. So now it's 2020, a lot of things haven't changed. So they re-released the movie, put it out on Netflix so people can look at why we are here, where we are today in America. And it doesn't point fingers, it doesn't, you know, place blame, but it points out a lot of facts and a lot of numbers, like 1 in 17 white men are in prison. 1 in 3 black men are in prison, you know? So it's just, I think I recommend it to everyone and to anyone, you know? And like Alexis, I do my educational ones and then I do something fun and something light and something, you know, interesting. I personally was horrified by 365. To me, it's a porn movie. And I was horrified that Netflix would put a porn on their station without some kind of real huge disclaimer that, like, they show almost everything in this movie and people can kind of just wander onto the movie. So that's why I was saying that. Ben, I want to go back to you because we've been talking a lot about America. You were born and raised in France. Now you're here in Los Angeles. What does America feel like, look like for you at this moment?
I mean, I've always been like a big fan of America. I mean, I choose this country for a reason. I think the American dream is still like doable. I think like American people, they have like a spirit of entrepreneur and they give you the chance to succeed. Even they don't really look at your background. And as when I compare with France and America, I always like feel like I was like way more motivated to be in America. But right now it's like, yeah, there's crazy things happening. And we all have to like do our part, you know? I think that you spoke at the beginning of the panel that what can we do to help with like Black Lives Matter? And I feel like, yes, we can donate. Yes, there's a lot of things we can do, but I like the sentence, you can like give a man a fish and feed him for a day, or you can just teach him how to fish and feed him for the rest of your life. So I think most of our, like us are business owners. And I think a lot of people that listen to you are business owners. And I think one of the things we can do is like try to hire Black people and trying to give them job and trying to like educate them and like give them like a profession, a knowledge, and so they can have also the chance to succeed, you know? So it's, I think, one of the things we can do. But LA is a nice place to live. LA is, it's a beauty, like it's great, like it's always crazy. Yeah, there's pros and cons everywhere in France, here in America, in New York. So I like Los Angeles. I don't know if I'm gonna stay here all my life, but for now, it's a good place. It's good for business.
I love LA. It's good for business. So I hear what you're saying. I you know, the only thing that I always say, and I love the expression. I was grown up on the, you know, give a man a fish, teach a man a fish, and so I would love to teach more Black people how to be business owners. So if you create a job, that means they still have to work for someone. And no matter who a person is, that's why we're all entrepreneurs. All of us, I believe, are serial entrepreneurs. You know, I built my first website in 1994, 26 years ago. I would have never thought I would be a talk show host, but it's my talk show, you know, it's my platform. So that's what I want more people to do, is to be business owners, which is why I love speaking to people like you. Greg, I would love your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I was just curious about Ben's parents. Were they entrepreneurs as well? Did they own their own businesses? Ben, is that where you got your kind of your ideas to start businesses, or where'd you get your passion from?
Yeah, my dad is a big entrepreneur. I think he like started like 10,000 businesses all his life. My mom, no, she's like she's a teacher, math teacher, and that's the opposite. She had like the same job like for her life. But I feel like, yeah, it's from my dad and from my sisters too. My sister, they're like the entrepreneur spirit, but from like a very, very young age, I was like trying to sell t-shirts in my high school, trying to like open things. But actually I have a question for you, Greg, because talking about real estate, why do you focus on single family home? Because I've been like trying to be in the real estate game for like a little bit, and I've been trying to invest on those platforms. I don't know if you know Fundrise, on this platform, like online, it's pretty easy to invest. But I heard that it's always good to have like a multi-family home or like a duplex or triplex in terms of investment and return on investment. So why do you focus only on single?
It's much easier to finance them. It's a much easier to find them. It's much easier to manage them than other properties. I actually own a lot of commercial property as well, and you do triple net leases. So when you get a tenant in, it's much easier, but when you lose a tenant, it takes a much longer time frame to find somebody, and commercial properties tend to be a lot more expensive. So you're exposed a lot more with a commercial property versus a residential property. And then everybody's got to have a roof over their head. So when I exited the map business, right, and I go, okay, I don't want to get into another industry that's going to be displaced by technology or displaced by something else. And so I said, what is the bare essentials? What does everybody have to have? And everybody has to have food, and everybody needs a roof over their head. So I thought real estate is really where I want to focus. And single family homes was the easiest thing to get in and the easiest thing to finance at that point in time. So. And that makes sense. I think I can help more people with single family homes.
That makes a lot of sense. I also a question for Alexi, by the way. Yeah. Alexi, I'm like crazy about to-do lists. I always do the like, to-do list, and I've been trying like a lot of app
website
building. And at the end of the day, I'm always like, for me, the best is like sheet of paper, like my pen, and just doing like all the way. You know, I never find the best app for that. So do you have like one app that you love and you recommend?
I do. So I will say this before I'm going to recommend it, and I'll tell you what the one I like is. But I think that usually it's more about discipline than it is about the app. Like if you found an app that works for you 70%, it's just as good as any other app. Like it's never going to be perfect. You're always going to have to do a little bit of tweaking. But the one that I recommend most frequently to my clients is called TickTick, not to be confused with TikTok. TickTick. And the reason that I love it is because, one, it is super easy to use. Two, it has a free, like a really good free version of it. So it's like no risk. If you know, you can try it out, if you like it, if you don't, et cetera. And it basically has like all the features that you want, but not all that bloat. You don't have to feel like you have to fill in a million fields to make your to-do list work. And so it's just super, super simple. And so I recommend that one most frequently. And it's the one that I use for my personal life as well. So that's what I love.
Does it have alerts and notifications?
It does, although I don't believe it. Like I don't use any of those. I hate alerts and notifications. Like I want to use my list to kind of drive what I do, but I don't like being interrupted. There's like, this is a crazy, now I'm just going to take over for a second. There's this crazy study done in, and a few years ago out of UC Irvine that showed that when we get distracted or interrupted every 11 minutes during the day. Right.
Oh, wow.
And that when we get distracted or interrupted, even if we're doing it to ourselves, like even if we're working on something and we're like, oh, I'm going to go check my email over here, it takes us on average 23 minutes to refocus on what we're doing. And so every time you get an alert or a notification, that's 23. I just imagine 23 minutes going poof. And so most people end up spending about a third of their workday just recovering from the distractions and all the alerts. And so I personally don't like them, but I think they can be a good crutch if you're, you know, on kind of a road to, you know, getting rid of them all, right? Mm-hmm. Calendar notifications, I will say those are good, especially in COVID, because, you know, you don't have the same kind of visual cues anymore, right? Of your coworkers standing up to go into an office conference room, right? So calendar alerts, important to be on time. But other than that, I don't really like alerts or notifications so much, because I just imagine my time dissipating up into the air the second that it goes away.
I love my calendar alerts and calendar notifications for the things I actually put on my calendar. They save my life, because I usually forget. then all of a sudden, 30 minutes prior, they're like, you have the round table talk show. I'm like, oh my God, let me get to my show. So I love those, but I know you're absolutely correct, because let me tell you one of the things that I've done a million times, and I do it a million times, but it never works, is I always tell myself I have to drink more water. So I go to Google Play Store, I download the water drinking app, every hour sends me, or 2 hours, whatever it is, sends me a notification, you have to drink your water. So what do? I hit ignore to the notification. I finish doing what I'm working on. Don't drink the water. And then it keeps going off. I keep ignoring it. And finally I go, I haven't drank any water. So you know what I do? I uninstall the app.
Right. Here, I've got a plan for you.
Okay.
Instead of relying on the alerts that we just ignore, because you know what? I got one of those too that tells me, oh, you're supposed to get up and move around every 45 minutes or whatever.
Right.
I'll just ignore it too. We want to rely on the strategy of convenience. So get one of those like 32-ounce big, you know, jugs,
right,
sit a straw in it, the beginning of every day, just put it next to your desk, and then it's there. So anytime you're looking, you're like, oh, water, I should drink some water. And you're going to be reminded in that way instead of an alert. Or when you're thirsty, you're going to be like, I have water right there. I don't even have to get up to get it. And just make that huge jug right there with the straw easy to use, because you're just going to continue with those alerts. I think everyone has experienced what you have right there. Like, oh, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do it 30 times a day. No, we're not.
Yes. I just uninstall the app. And so Ben's over there proving that he has water, and that's how he has his physique. He's just drinking his water. I got to be more. Look at Natasha. Everybody has their water. I'm sitting up here.
And you know what I did? I literally went on Etsy and had like custom, like, you know.
I can't read it. What does it say?
So it says Natasha Dressler, Public Relations and Hype Woman, because that's my nickname. Nice. So I had it made on my water bottle. So when it sits here, I'm like, oh, I need to drink more water. Yes. I got to make you one, Sharifa.
Make me one. I want one. I need some like little cool little phrase, you know, so I can sit in here and I can show it, and then make sure you put like your PR, like I want your PR aspect or something on there, but I definitely want one, you know, but I love the idea. But let me tell you, Alexis, this is what we're going to do. Palm Springs is not that far from Long Beach, right? So I don't know how long you're going to be quarantined there, but after we finish the show, I'll talk to the kids and the husband and say, Sharifa needs me. Like, just tell them, like, Sharifa needs me. I'm going to Long Beach. I'm going to help her out. Because what happens is, and I'll tell people about this story. I launched this show on March 30th. From March 3rd, because that's when the primary election ended, from March 3rd to March 30th, I was like, I'm going to be ready for this show. I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to drink my water. I'm going to lose my weight. I did a 5-day juice fast. I was drinking so much water. I was ready. Then COVID-19 happened. My nerves were shot. I was all emotional. And then all of a sudden, all I wanted was McDonald's mocha frappe.
It's a reasonable response to what's going on in the world, honestly.
It's the only thing that made me feel better.
Sharifa, I've got a question for you.
Yes.
Are you ever going to run for office again?
Yes. Thank you. Oh, nobody's ever asked me that question. Let me tell you something. I'm going to run for office just so I can't win. Like, this is so fun running for office, you know. But then when I didn't win, I realized that I never wanted to be in city council, because all people do is come and tell you about their problems. And I can never be a therapist. I can never be a psychologist, a coach, an advisor, because I don't know if y'all remember that general, I forgot his name, but he did all the commercials and he was like, stop your crying. You're a method pimpin', you know, and that's me. Like, I don't want to hear all these problems, but I love running. And it was so funny, when I decided to run, my friends were like, Sharifa, how are you going to be in city council? Like, you don't even like people. You don't even like talking to people. And I was like, I do. I said, I love talking to people. I don't like talking with people. Right? Like, so this is perfect for me. I've had so much fun. I have enjoyed this show. I've learned a lot. I had a really great time. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to everyone who's watching the show live, as well as everyone who's watching the show in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your interview. And I am going to start with you, Ben.
It's me?
You, Ben.
I just want people to know that it's not that difficult to be like entrepreneur. Yeah, just have like, I really changed my life when I decided to do things, just not like just to not just planning, but just being in the act of doing. So I think that's a lot of people that are afraid of just doing and starting, and it's not that difficult. So I want people just to try, like do things, start something. If they have like a business idea, just start it on the side and work on it.
I love it. Ben has that Nike just do it philosophy. I think that's amazing. Natasha, what do you have for us?
I would love to echo on Ben's sentiment. Today is my anniversary of being laid off. I actually celebrate it because it was the first time in my life I ever was ever laid off. I've always worked very high-paced corporate jobs and had, you know, great positions. And when I got laid off, I was like, this is actually the push I needed to become the entrepreneur I was born to be. So many people are scared. And I always tell my friends, start your side hustle and then get ready to pivot to your career and what you're meant to do in life. And don't be scared, because I was scared for so long. And it took me so long in life to get to be my own boss, but it is so rewarding. And I can't wait to help other people get there where they want to be.
I think that's beautiful. And I love, you know, maybe that could be a whole different sideline or business line for you. I'm serious. Like, this is serious from my heart, because I speak about this a lot, you know, like, I don't know if it's paraphernalia or support groups or whatever, because I don't think that people understand how being laid off affects you emotionally, right? I was laid off 8 times. And I tell people that was because God kept closing the door. I never wanted to be an entrepreneur at all. I tell people, nothing says I love you like direct deposit. Like, that's my thing right there, direct deposit. Right.
It's scary to go from solid paychecks, solid insurance, having this community around you of coworkers, to working for yourself in your home office. But it has been such a rewarding experience. And I want others to know that it's okay to take that jump and take that leap of faith, because you always have skill sets you can fall back on. So if it doesn't work out and you're not meant to be an entrepreneur, it's okay. You can get another job again, but at least you can say, I did it.
Right. But it affects you emotionally. And I think people really don't get it, because when you quit a job, you usually have something lined up. Like, you don't just say, you know what? I don't want to be here.
I'm out.
You know, right. Like, you're going back to school. You're moving across the country. You got a new job. You're getting married. So there's a different direction for your life. When you're fired, like, no, you can't, you, I may not even be willing to tell Greg that it was something I did wrong, or my closest friends, but I know there was a reason why I was fired. Many of these jobs, I had perfect attendance awards, employee of the month award. Like, how do you go from here's your employee of the month to Sharifa, you no longer have a job? And so my life changed, but it, you know, it had absolutely nothing to do with me. These companies were going out of business, you know, downsizing, relocating. So please, I don't know why I just put that on your plate, Natasha. And I'm
I love that. Thank you. I actually
you might want to make a cup.
I know. I actually get messaged a lot from friends who are being laid off because of COVID. And I tell them, like, it's gonna be okay. I promise you. Like, get your plan together now. We talked about this earlier, and Alexis and Sharifa, you talked about it. It really isn't the time. Like, yes, you're allowed the downtime and to process things, but also take this time to, like, what am I gonna do? What's my next move? What can I do? And I think COVID has also taught us, to Greg's point and to Ben's point, you need separate streams of passive income. No one stream can really survive any of us anymore. So that's where, like, I've been focusing my time as well.
I got another one for you. Another passive stream, make some cuts. Yes. or whatever, start a club. This is going to be the layoff club. I don't know. I just made that
up. I love that.
Alexis.
Yes. So what I want to echo everything everyone's just saying. And it's so true. As a person, I was laid off when I was on maternity leave, and I was the HR person 11 years ago in 2009. Wow. And it was hard, but also I probably wouldn't be where I am right now if it hadn't happened.
Yes.
Right? So it's the same thing. But what I want to leave people with is some ways to take action and some free tips. So I got a couple of things. If you go to my website, which is alexishasselberger.com, you will be presented with the opportunity to download a free guide on how to remove and distractions, right? How to eliminate distractions. And as we talked about before, distractions are kind of killing our productivity during the day. And also, if you are a working parent during this time, I have a working parents coronavirus quarantine survival guide that you can download that helps people kind of put some structure around what to do with your kids when they're just kind of there and there's no even remote school anymore. And so that can be downloaded at alexishasselberger.com/survival guide. And so I want to just give those to people for free because I think everyone needs a little bit of help right now.
Yeah, so I'm going to go down, like, not the parent one. My kids are 23 and 26, but the how not to be distracted, I'm definitely going to check that out. Greg, what do you have for us?
I just love what Natasha said about multiple streams of income, and that's what we try and do for people is get them directed in a way that they need to start saving. And I love the entrepreneurial aspect of starting a business, but don't forget to put some money away for your retirement. Sock that away, just little bits at a time makes a huge difference when you hit that age and you go, okay, what's in that fund? Oh, there's nothing there. That's the worst time, right? That anybody could ever experience when they go, I'm ready to retire and there's nothing there to fund my retirement. So just put little bits away. It's hard to do, but it pays big, big dividends in the future.
Absolutely. I love it. I've learned so much. I took some notes. I'm heading over to Alexis' website right now to download some more information. I definitely recommend you download it as well. That's why I always talk about our guests are providing you with free tips, free resources, free information. They're taking up their time and their energy to be of service to you. So I want to thank all of you for being my guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who's watching it in the archives. I definitely appreciate you. I definitely appreciate your support, but don't just watch the show. Share the show. This information, these resources, this knowledge, your friends need this information as well. Also, please support the show. Please support our guests. I've added all of their website links, their information in the post. Go to their websites, follow them on social media, send them a message. And when you send them that message, please be sure to say, Sharifa Hardy says hi. If you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.